On today's episode, we get back to basics as we break down everything about Universal Studios for our first part of our Universal 101 series. This is episode 15 of the Capture the Magic Universal podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show today. My name is Jamie Lee, and I'm joined by my husband, Mr. Jared Lee. Hello, Jared.
Hello.
Well, we're back in 2021 with a new Universal podcast episode. You excited to get this going?
I am. I feel like I have no choice but to say yes in this instance, because if I did not, it would be weird.
It would be weird.
Yeah.
Well, we do have a little bit of changes to the Universal podcast in case you don't listen to our main Capture the Magic podcast. It's just Jared and I from now on the Universal podcast, and we're going to do it about once a month-ish.
Yeah. We'll put at minimum once a month. If we do more than that, then we'll just, they'll just be bonus, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once or twice a month-ish. So that's kind of what we're looking at going forward with this podcast. But I have a question for you, Jared.
I'm all ears.
So, in doing research for this episode, because there's a lot of Universal stuff that I'm still learning, I got to kind of take a look back at all the old attractions at Universal, and it got me thinking. What attraction do you wish you could have done that no longer exists at Universal Studios that you've heard about?
Probably the King Kong ride. The first
confrontation.
Yeah. If I did ride it, I don't remember it. I don't think I did. I've heard a lot of people say it was terrifying.
I feel like you'd remember that one.
Yeah. Like a lot of people say it was really scary. If there's any ride I could have back, it would be Back to the Future.
Hear, hear.
Well, and especially, yes. Obviously, it's like, would you say it's your favorite movie?
Yeah.
Okay, I figured.
I've said that many times.
Well, yes. I know sometimes Indiana Jones creeps up there, but.
Oh, no, Back to the Future, 100%.
Yeah. I feel like now I do now appreciate Back to the Future more than I did perhaps probably before we met or were married. But I feel like now I would like it even more. But, I mean, we still have the little. You have the DeLorean out there with Doc.
But you did that one. You did that attraction, right?
I did. I don't remember a ton about it. I'm sure I did it back. We wrote it back when we went in like 13, didn't we? I believe we wrote. When did it change?
No, it closed in 2007.
Was it 07?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that
it's
shows
been
you
a
how
while.
Much. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
I'm definitely. Universal, like it's been until recently. I don't think it was 07.
No, it was a while ago. Okay. It was a while ago.
Anyways, I probably wrote it. I know I wrote it back when I was in high school. Obviously, Universal until recently, like we hadn't gone very often. So, yeah, that's right. The one I wish, if any of them, I would take that one back.
Okay.
I think you would agree.
Yeah, okay. I would definitely bring that one back, but I did that one.
What do you mean you did?
My question was, what have you not done?
No, I know. I know. What about you? What about one that you didn't do that you would bring back?
I don't remember not doing any. Like, I think I went enough. I did all of them.
So you just wanted to brag?
No, I wanted to know. I wanted to know what you've done.
I did Jaws. I remember Jaws. Mm-hmm. I think Kong is like the only one. I mean, I'm sure there's another one that I'm not thinking of, but Kong's the one that sticks out.
Yeah. I never, let's see. Yeah, because I was six when it first opened. We'll get into this, but I was six when it first opened. So if there was any attraction that opened on opening day that I couldn't do, but there wasn't that many, I'll have to think about it more. But I don't remember doing Jaws. I remember doing Jaws in Universal Hollywood. I don't remember it here, though. Orlando. So maybe that one. Maybe I'll choose that one. Jaws, Orlando.
Yeah, I remember that one was. I mean, it was. I don't think I'd seen Jaws when I first wrote it, but it was.
No, I hadn't either. I had no idea what it was.
An iconic ride.
So. Yeah. But yeah, so we are going to get into, kind of do like a deep dive into the Universal Studios Florida theme park. The first one.
Well, we realized we never really set a sort of a basics, which we do this sometimes on the Capture the Magic Normal podcast, which especially with Disney has things that change so much. So it's a good refresher for, you know, everybody that, because there's a lot of people I think now that are definitely looking at going to Universal more, especially since things have reopened and we've talked about Universal's resorts are so nice that I think a lot of people, I mean, especially if you're talking about Dockside and Riverside, or not Riverside, excuse me, Surfside.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got a lot of people. I know more and more people in our Facebook groups are very curious about Universal.
Yeah, and a lot of people haven't been or don't have any familiarity with it. So
we kind of feel like this is a good time to do that. Although I will say from numerous people that have gone recently, they said do Disney first and then do Universal, because a lot of people are saying Universal has their stuff together better than Disney does in terms of resort guests, like having things more organized up on that end of things.
Yeah.
So
always play the comparison game with those.
This is
places.
From three different people that have told me the same thing.
Okay.
So I'm just being the voice for the people. That's
well,
what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, we're going to go into a little bit of the background and, you know, talk about what you can find inside the park and all that. But first, we want to take care of some housekeeping, as always. We've got Capture the Magic podcast. That's Jared and I, and that's on Thursdays. We've got Trip Tales. That's once a month. Maybe a bonus episode here and there if I can fit it in. And I still am taking guests for my March episode. Anyway, send me an email or go to ctmtriptales.com and fill out the form if you'd like to be a guest on the show. Let's see. We've got Dizzy's is on hiatus right now. It'll be returning sometime soon. And then Club 32. Don't forget Club 32. CTMVIP.com if you want to sign up for exclusive club where you can get all the insider info and the live stream.
Insider info?
Of us, I guess? I don't know.
We don't have any inside info on parks, I should say.
No.
I just want to go out and say that.
But we do go to Disney a lot, and we do live streams for our club members and discounts on apparel.
Yeah, I was just along with Club 32. Now there's exclusive content. We've got Distry is now a Club 32 show that is going to be on Mondays. We've got Cool Kids Kitchen. We have Club 32 Speakeasy, and other things coming that way on there. So there is I guess I don't know what kind of programming. Special programming in there. Exclusive programming, that's what you'd say it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've got the newest release. It's our first Tangled shirt. It's a Rapunzel shirt. Lost Princess Frying Pan Company. If you go to ctmshirts.com, you can check out all the new shirts. We've got some hats too. A couple of Baby Yoda Mando hats that are in the shop now. So you can get... And things, you know, they run a little smooth. Now, Jamie's definitely... We had planned in 2021 anyways of Jamie doing more on the shirt side just because... The shirts originally were kind of your baby to begin with, and then obviously she had actual babies, and so it kind of took her away from doing more. So now the kids are getting a little older. She's plugging back into it, so things are definitely more organized and all that stuff. So, yeah, go to ctmshirts.com.
And obviously, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review, as always.
Yes.
And we want to mention our wonderful sponsor, Zippity Doodah Travel.
Yeah, so if you're looking to go to Disney or Universal, head over to travelwithzip.com. There's a quick form there you can fill out, tell them what you're looking to do, and they will get you connected with an agent and basically help you plan a great trip for no cost to you. So it's kind of a no-brainer. Just let them do a lot of the work for you. And our agent is awesome. Numerous times she's gotten us dining reservations and, you know, things like that, that we just tell her, hey, you know, if you happen to come across this, you know, be great. And she's awesome, comes through. And all their agents do this too. So it makes your life a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you want to switch resorts. Just like, hey, can I just go over here? And they just take care of it for you. So
that's right.
Again, go to travelwithzip.com.
Okay, so let's get to class. Universal 101.
I don't want to go back to class. I'm done with school.
I'm sorry. So this episode is focusing on the Universal Studios Florida theme park. Okay, so this is confusing. We need some terminology clarification. So Universal Studios, Universal refers to the the parks, City Walk, the hotels as Universal Orlando.
Yes.
Okay. So the park we're talking about today, they refer to as Universal Studios Florida. And then the other park is Islands of Adventure.
Yes.
Okay. So today we're talking about the original park, Universal Studios Florida.
Yes.
Got it? Okay, great. Okay,
were
so...
Were you talking to me?
I am. I'm talking to you and
okay. I was like, I got this.
I know. It bears repeating. So the first thing we're going to talk about is a little bit of background before we get into kind of what it is now.
Yes, because background makes everything clear.
It does.
Yeah. So Universal Studios, we'll just refer to it as that. So okay. You know what we're talking about.
Okay.
Park opened June 7th, 1990. The original theme was See the Stars, Ride the Movies.
Well, they went through many iterations of the theme, like the theme or the slogan or whatever, but it always kind of was around Ride the Movies.
Right.
They did that a couple times.
Like going into the movies.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a working studio, so it had shows from Nickelodeon, especially being filmed there. And they took components from the already existing Universal Studios Hollywood Studio Tour and made them into standalone attractions like Jaws, basically.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in Hollywood, there is... So they had the studio tour with the actual working studio.
Mm-hmm.
It was there, you know, forever.
I vaguely...
And then they built the theme park around that.
Yeah, I vaguely remember Nickelodeon.
I remember it.
I vaguely remember Nickelodeon being there.
Yeah. By the way, the offices and some of the filming stuff was where Blue Man Group is now, by the
right,
way.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then Jaws is obviously part of the studio tour, and it became like a permanent attraction.
Right.
In Orlando.
It celebrated 30 years in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Only one original attraction and one original show remains.
And that's E.T. and the Universal Horror Makeup Show. Everything else is different.
How much longer do you think E.T. stands? I've often wondered this.
I don't know. It's Steven Spielberg's baby.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in 10 years, surely it's still not there.
I don't know. Like, it doesn't really draw a lot of crowds unless it's really busy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. And then obviously there was competition with MGM Studios, which is now known as Hollywood Studios, but with Michael Eisner, who was Disney's CEO at the time.
Yeah.
He famously beat them to opening.
With half a park.
Yeah. He technically opened first.
Right.
Not, it's kind of like your house was done first, but none of the walls were done.
Right.
Kind of thing.
I think, yeah. It was May 1st. It was like a full year earlier. It was like May 1st, 1989.
Yeah. He made it a point to beat them.
And then, yeah, 90. But there's more into that, and we may do another episode about that whole thing between MGM and Universal.
I want to do a history on it because it's very interesting.
It's very interesting. So,
and I feel like Michael Eisner gets a bad rap.
Well,
personality wise, but I think for the stuff he did, obviously this is a Disney podcast, but what he did for Disney in the 90s, pretty impressive.
Yeah. So now we're going to move on to kind of where the park is situated and how to get there.
Yes. So how to get there. You can go to park in the parking garage.
There's one giant parking garage.
Yes. You walk through security into City Walk. So basically it corrals you into one central location that you then go through security and then it basically dumps you out into City Walk. And then from there you can choose if you want to go to studio side or if you want to go Islands of Adventure side or if you just want to wander around City Walk. And
what is City Walk for those that are not familiar?
It is their shopping and restaurant sort of district, similar to Disney Springs in theory, but not anywhere near the size of Disney Springs.
Oh, no. It's small.
It's very much smaller. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they've got food and places to shop. I mean, not a ton. It's not a huge, like I said, it's mostly food in there at this point.
A lot of restaurants. There are some clubs. I don't know if they're doing any right now.
I don't know if they are. I mean, on the other side, I mean, so City Walk's got this main component. Then the other side of the water, you've got like Hard Rock Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
You've got...
I guess that's considered City Walk, too.
It's still City Walk over there. You've got the Chocolate Emporium, places over there. So
yeah. So, yeah. So from there, like Jared said, you can either keep going straight from the parking garage, like through City Walk to get Islands of Adventure, or you can go right. And that takes you to Universal Studios.
Yes.
All right.
Which is where we're going today. We're taking a right.
Yeah, we're taking a right. Okay. So as you kind of go around, so you have that turning globe that says Universal on it.
Yes.
Ooh, that's pretty iconic, I think.
I would say so. I mean, it's like Universal didn't really have park icons like Disney does. So I would say that's sort of their icon is that. Mm-hmm. If they were to have one, it would be that one for sure.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be, you know, obviously they're taking their idea from Universal Studios Hollywood. Like you're entering a studio, like you're entering a working studio, but you're in the movie studio. It's very strange. But so it looks like you're entering the gates of like Universal, like in California. This was supposed to be like emulating. Yeah. So it kind of looks like you're in California, at least when you first go in. So let's talk about how the park is set up.
Yeah, so there are 8 themed areas around a lagoon, if you will.
A lagoon.
You have Production Central. You have New York, San Francisco, London, and Diagon Alley. You have World Expo, you have Springfield, which is The Simpsons, Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone, and then you have Hollywood.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we're going to go through each themed area and just kind of tell you what's in it. We're not going to go into huge detail each thing. Obviously, that would take forever. But we're just kind of breeze through and tell you kind of what's in there.
Yep. So first one, Production Central.
You just go straight. Yep.
In here, you've got the Universal Studios Store. You got Despicable Me, Minion Mayhem, Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket, Universal Music Plaza Stage, Transformers The Ride. You got Shrek 4D, Universal Studios Classic Monsters Cafe, Bone Chillin', which is like a drink station thing there. Mm-hmm. And the gift shops at the end of the attractions as well.
Yeah. So this is like, I know this is supposed to be like you're in a studio production area, but it's, I would consider it the least themed area.
Yeah, I would say so.
There's just not really anything.
It's sort of just there.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
but it's fine, and it I wouldn't say there's not like a Main Street USA equivalent, because this is again nothing.
No.
Memorable. Blah.
I mean, if you want to get the same, I feel like the same experience of like a Main Street type experience, that would be going into like Diagon Alley, type of thing.
But.
It's not the same thing. Again, these are the things of obviously our audience is a lot of Disney people. So this is one of those things when you go to Universal and you're used to Disney, there's not those sort of, like we said, there's no park icons.
Right.
You really don't have a Main Street USA, mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So you're kind of just, once you're in there, you're just kind of in the park.
Yeah. And all those attractions that we talked about, they all have a gift shop at the end of the attraction.
Yes.
They're very good about putting a gift shop at the end of the attraction. Disney does it sometimes, not all the time.
Yeah, Disney's not as, yeah. They'll try it like the Toy Story Mania one they kind of threw in there.
Right.
Which most people just walk by, but yeah.
Winnie the Pooh has one.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of spread here and
most there. Most of Disney's, you don't have to walk through the gift shop to get out.
Right.
Whereas Universal, you do.
Well, and right. Universal is not as heavily attended as Disney, so they don't have to worry about space as much. So
right.
That's probably why.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Production Central. Do you want to move on to the next one?
Go to New York.
New York. Hey, I'm in New York.
Yes, Garth, we are going to New York is where we're
Thank
going.
Thank you.
All right, here we have A Race Through New York starring Jimmy Fallon, The Tribute Store, Revenge of the Mummy, The Blues Brothers Show, Finnegan's Bar and Grill, Louie's Italian Restaurant, Auntie Anne's Pretzels, Starbucks, Sahara Traders, Rosie's Irish Shop, Park Plaza Holiday Shop, and the Film Vault.
Yep. Most notably in here, the Tribute Store is fairly new.
It's a cool place. I like how they, I mean, it's almost like it's a very heavily themed store.
Yeah. Didn't they open that starting with Halloween Horror Nights? Wasn't that their thing? Okay.
Yeah.
So now what they use it for is basically whatever event or holiday is going on, it's themed for that.
Yeah. So there the Christmas one was cool.
There's a Christmas holiday one. There's going to be a Mardi Gras tribute store as well. So it'll just kind of keep going. Let's see. There's the Finnegan's Bar and Grill. I have never been. I think I went to Louis' Italian Restaurant years ago. But they've got the staples like Annie Ann's, Ben and Jerry's, Starbucks, and little shops here and there. So it's a fairly good sized area, but it's crammed. There's a lot crammed into that area.
Yeah. I'd like to go to Finnegan's. I think I've been there once, but I don't remember much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of their Irish bar there, if you will.
Oh, really? Finnegan's is Irish?
Just clearing things up in case people were wondering.
Yeah. But yeah, and I was talking to Jared about this last night. This is the one area that confuses me, like, spatially. Because it's not a, like, most places, I feel like, are either in, like, a circle or a square. This one's in, like, a triangle. And for some reason, I can't get my bearings, like, where I'm standing, where things are located, but it's just me.
I think it's because you're just used to how Disney parks are laid out.
Probably.
And this is just very, it's just very different from how Disney's laid out.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so that was New York.
Yes. So now we're going to San Francisco. Over here we have the always stupendous Fast and Furious Supercharged.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic ride. Not really.
No.
Richter's Burger Company. Chez Alcatraz.
Shay Alcatraz.
It's Shay?
Shay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why is there a Z in there then?
That's for French.
Let's put these letters in here to make me look foolish.
No.
Lombard's Seafood Grill. Mm-hmm. San Francisco Candy Factory. Graveyard Snacks. Universal Studios Custom Gear. And SF Beer Company.
So lots of food in this section because Fast and Furious Supercharged takes up that whole building.
It does.
It used to be part Earthquake, part Jaws and everything, mm-hmm. but now they just use that whole section. So there you go.
To make a subpar ride. Yeah.
And full disclosure, I haven't been to any of these like places to eat before. Which I think we need to try. Like,
yeah, I've been to Richter's. It's been a while.
Oh, you have? Okay.
It's been so long I couldn't tell you how the food was.
Yeah.
But I know I've been in there and had the food there before.
I know Lombard Seafood is decent. It's the one that sits over the water.
Right.
And then the Universal Studios Custom Gear is just like a stand. So is the beer company one. So there you go. That's San Francisco. What's next?
Well, next we have the Wizarding World of Harry Potter over in Diagon Alley.
Diagon Alley.
Dagon.
Diagon Alley.
So in here we have lots of things in here.
Lots of things.
So there's Hogwarts Express, which is the train that takes you. This is one of the transportations that takes you to the other park and back and forth. But it's kind. I mean, basically, this is like a ride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is specifically a ride, but I mean, it's more of a theme park type attraction ride. I think it's something that.
Mm-hmm.
Good to do. You got the night bus from the movies with the talking mm-hmm. head. Got Harry Potter and the Escape from Gringotts. We have Magical Menagerie. Is that how you mm-hmm. say that? I said it right. Look mm-hmm. at me. Gibulous Writing Instruments. Ollivanders, which I have been to Ollivanders, and I actually did the experience in there because I got a wand for a friend. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize at the time you could just go into straight to the shop.
Or you can go to Wands by Grigorovitz.
Right. So I stood in line and did the experience, which it was actually pretty cool. Mm. You can't film it, but
right.
So I got to see that. So, like Jamie said, Wands by Grigorovitz.
Grigorovitz.
You have Gringotts Money Exchange. You have Glogus Mundi.
Mm-hmm.
The Tales of Beetle the Bard and Celestina. Warbuck and the Banshees, which these are both shows.
Is that on that stage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leaky Cauldron,
mm-hmm.
Florin Fortescue's Ice Cream Parlor. These words are going to get me. Fountain of Fair Fortune, The Hopping Pot, Eternals Elixir of Refreshment, Weasling's Wizard.
Weasley's.
Sorry, I knew that one as soon as I said it. Weasley's Wizard Wheezes. Borgin and Burks, Madame Malkin's Robes for All Occasions. It's quite the name.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say that word?
Wiseacres.
Okay. Wiseacres Wizarding Equipment / Quality Quidditch Supplies,
mm-hmm.
Sugar Plum Sweet Shop, and London Taxi Hut.
Okay. So just FYI, if you've never been to Diagon Alley, It's a very small area.
With a lot of stuff in
and
there.
And there's a ton of stuff jam-packed in there. But they do it on purpose because it's supposed to be like you're in London. In London, you know, they have very small boutique-like shops like this.
Yeah.
Or places to eat. So they want you to feel kind of crowded.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. When you're in here, there's so many little things in there. Like when
don't take a stroller in the shops. Don't do it.
Yeah. It can be tight.
Yeah.
But no, when you first get in there, you kind of think, oh, and you see the big stuff. But then if you go wandering around, there's so many little nooks and crannies in this whole land.
And we're going to do a 101 of Harry Potter on this side and the other
Harry
part.
Potter on the show?
What?
You said 101. We're getting Harry Potter on the show?
That would be great if we could.
I guess we could try and get Daniel Radcliffe. I very much doubt he would do it.
Okay.
Or return my emails. But. Although you could just go, yeah, sure, let's do it. Okay.
All right, so and I forgot the facade right next to where you go in Diagon Alley is Grimald's place, which is like it's supposed to be like in London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on from Harry Potter World 2, we'll go to the World Expo, which jam-packed in here with Fear Factor Live, which I know you're thinking, thank God they have Fear Factor Live still, and Men in Black Alien Attack, and that's it.
Fear Factor Live is not running right now.
I wonder why.
It is used as a relaxation area, or you rest area is what they call it right now.
Yeah.
So no show there, and then Men in Black. So yeah, only two main things. There's some like food stands and here and there. There's a Coca-Cola store right there.
Yeah.
But that's it.
I mean, this is one of those areas, if I were to, you know, we've talked about, because obviously Universal has limited space compared to Disney, like they have to redo things more frequently. This is an area that I would be shocked in 10 years if that all is still there.
In 10 years? Yeah.
I mean, there's other stuff they could put back there that utilize it better.
I think they're going to get a giant IP going in there. That's what I think.
Well, I agree. Okay. They will get a giant IP in there.
Yeah.
All right, let's head over to Springfield. And now this used to be part of World Expo.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Springfield, which is one of the reasons World Expo is so much smaller now.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the Simpsons ride, which took the place of the Back to the Future ride, which Jamie...
I'm not going to speak about this because it makes me angry.
I just want you guys to know, Jamie legitimately... We rode this ride once, and then she was...
Nope, I won't ride it ever again.
Visibly furious. And she...
And ill, by the way. I thought I was going to throw up.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
She's not going to let this go.
Nope.
She's very mad still. Nope. So we also have King and Kodo's Twirl and Hurl, Duff Brewery, Fast Food Boulevard. So in here we've got Bumblebee Man's Taco Truck, Lard Lad Donuts, Expo Eats, and Funnel Cakes Food Truck. There's the Backlot Mini Cafe, Moe's Tavern, and the Quickie Mart.
Yeah, Moe's Tavern has a couple of different places to eat. In there,
like yeah, which is interesting about Springfield because it's mostly food.
It's a lot of food, a lot of beer too.
You know, you would think when you're going in there that there may be some more rides, but there's just two rides and mostly food and drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the version at Hollywood is better.
Yeah, the version at Hollywood, from what I've seen, has a lot more little things in there and kind of maybe a better themed area. But,
yeah.
All right, where are we heading now?
We're heading to Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone.
Yes. So in here, there's actually quite a few things. We have Animal Actors on Location, A Day in the Park with Barney, Curious George Goes to Town, Woody Woodpecker's Nut House Coaster, Fievel's Playland, E.T. Adventure, Kid Zone Pizza Company, SpongeBob Store Pants, and Cafe 4.
Yeah. So this place is good for kids, like, I don't know. 5 to 8.
Yeah, I would say that's the age range in there.
Right,
yeah.
5 to 9. I think I've been back here as an adult one time. Yeah. I don't remember it as a kid. I was talking to my dad about this. I was like, Dad, did we go back there when we were kids, like in the early 90s? He's like, yeah. I mean, I remember you guys going and doing that stuff, but I mean, I couldn't place it now. And I was like, yeah, I don't remember it at all. We did Disney, obviously, way more.
Right.
But apparently we did do some of these attractions back then. So
I don't recall anything from my childhood back there. But that'd mean a whole lot because I don't remember things.
Well, and there's that rumor, you know, that they're going to replace it with a different land.
I would believe that rumor just because Woody Woodpecker is not a... Kids don't really know Woody Woodpecker. I mean,
it's an older IP.
I mean, when's the last time Woody Woodpecker cartoon was on TV?
I don't know.
That wasn't on, like, I don't know. You know, a channel that just played old stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. And you mentioned E.T., you know, being back there. It's okay. They don't...
Although...
So what made it... So here's, like, what made it special. Okay, so in, you know, when it opened in 90, 91, whatever, whenever we went... when you went through the queue, you know, it played on the TVs at the beginning, like it's talking about Steven Spielberg and working with the alien, and it was like, right, a backstage thing. But they gave you cards, and the cards had like barcode on it. They were like, you know, chipped or whatever. And you handed it to a team member, and they put your name in, scan the card, put your name in.
Yeah.
And then you just keep walking and get into the queue. The queue was super dark, like you were in the woods, like E.T. was in the movie. Okay. Scared the crap out of me as a kid. Really dark. Thought like animals were in there. Like it was just kind of like scary.
Right.
But at the end of the attraction, the alien, the E.T. at the end, it says your name. Goodbye, Jamie. Yes. Jordan. Marty.
Mm-hmm.
Scott. That's what it said. It was hilarious. I loved it.
Do they still do that?
No.
They don't do that? No. Okay. One of the times I wrote it not that long ago, they still did that.
I mean, they might have done it recently, but like right at this moment, like with everything going on, no.
Yeah.
They don't give out the cards
anymore. I haven't ridden it since the parks reopened. So.
Yeah. So anyway, that's just kind of what it is. And I don't think anything has changed.
I doubt it.
I don't think anything has.
Our daughter wasn't a big fan of it, was she?
Not really. I think she kind of got scared at the E.T. stuff because it looked weird to her.
He does look a little odd. She doesn't really know who he is. So.
Right. So 4-year-olds, probably not a fan of this
one. I mean, if I was her and I just saw this strange creature, I would be a little freaked out too,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on to Hollywood section.
Yes. Over here we have Universal Orlando Horror Makeup Show. Horror Makeup Show.
Horror.
The Bourne Spectacular, Central Park Crips, Cafe La Bamba, Mel's Drive-In, Schwab's Pharmacy, Williams of Hollywood Prop Shop, UOAP Lounge. This is the Universal Passholder Lounge area. Mm-hmm. The Today Cafe, Marilyn and the Diamond Bella's Show, the Brown Derby Hat Shop, Betty Boop Store, and the Hello Kitty Shop.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. The annual passholder lounge is fairly new, I think in the last year,
mm-hmm,
maybe, that went in. And then they still do that Marilyn Monroe show, which is still fun. The characters, they've got that, well, they've got Bart Simpson in his little trailer, I guess, that's set up on Street.
It's like an RV type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are characters out, and then SpongeBob does their little show.
Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm. And they call it, there's a superstar parade that usually goes on. I don't know if they're doing it right now. But it has some characters like the Minions and
I think they still Scooby-Doo. Do it. And then it's just like a distance thing. It's a little different. I remember that being in.
I don't think I've seen it since everything, but, something notable that I miss is the I Love Lucy tribute.
Yeah. That's, remember that? That was where the Hello Kitty shop is. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. It's fine.
Jamie loves her. So.
I do. But the Bourne Spectacular is the newest thing in there besides the Central Park Crepes.
Yeah, and we tried to do Bourne Spectacular a few times, but every time it's because it's obviously distance now and it's harder to get in there. And then we tried when we didn't have kids. I don't think it's a show for kids. So
I don't think so.
One of these days we'll check it out. I've heard nothing but great things about it.
Yeah.
But we haven't got to check that out yet.
And then something that they do, I don't think they're doing it right now. I know they're not doing it right now. The Universal Orlando Cinematic Celebration, and that's the fireworks laser projection show.
Lasers.
It's not laser, but projection show on the lagoon. Just celebrates the movies that Universal does.
They need to bring this back when they do bring it back and have Jaws with lasers attached to his head.
Lasers.
I feel like that'd be a good touch. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. But anyway, that's not going on right now, but usually it is. Events, Jared.
Well, normally you have Halloween Horror Nights, which obviously this past Halloween it was canceled. You have the Macy's Holiday Parade, which this past Christmas was also canceled. That you could walk through, which we did do that, which was that was cool. I mean, they had Santa in there. That was kind of a cool thing they did. Mardi Gras, which they are doing this year. It's called Mardi Gras 2021 International Flavors of Carnival. That's how you say that, right? Carnival. I think that's the way that Mardi Gras say. It's running February 6th through March 28th. Then you have Rock the Universe. This is a Christian music festival. Mm-hmm. Summer concert series, and then a celebration of Harry Potter. That's in the fall, correct?
No, that's actually in January, and they're not doing it this year.
Isn't it January? Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's usually like the last weekend.
Why did I think it was in the fall then? I don't know. I have no idea.
So the Mardi Gras thing, you know, it starts next month, and obviously we're going to try and check it out and see what it's like. It falls very closely to an Epcot festival. They're focusing on food this year a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never done anything Mardi Gras, so I'm kind of...
I haven't either.
I'm kind of excited to check it out because I really don't have anything to... Another thing I compare it to is a Disney festival, so I'm kind of curious how it is.
Yeah, so there's more information that we'll have about that probably on the next episode that we do for Universal. We'll talk about this and our experience there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of what's going on. But their flagship event is the Halloween Horror Nights.
100%. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, Disney has their Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which is like the kid friendly version of Halloween.
Kid family.
This is not. This is scary. I personally am not a fan of it. Jared's
I have no
talked desire. About it.
I don't enjoy horror movies. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy any of that. I just don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't do so well in haunted houses because they don't appreciate... you don't want the risk of like hitting anybody in those things. So it's one of those things like they're just not enjoyable for me personally.
Right.
But I know a lot of people love it.
Well, it's a big draw for teenagers, young adults. And
it's definitely a very specific type crowd, which is like young adults and people who love horror movies.
Well, they usually have a lot of scare houses out there. Mm-hmm. They change them up every year, but there's a few that are always very popular that they keep.
Yeah.
I don't know much about them again because I don't partake. But you know, we'll have, hopefully, you know, they bring it back again in some iteration for 2021. This past year they had two, I think.
They ended up doing two.
Two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was, they limited the people going through and, you know, it was like a virtual queue kind of thing, I believe. So, we'll see what happens this year, but this was the 20th anniversary this year, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Wasn't that right?
Somewhere around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's kind of all the events you can find around Universal Studios Florida. Is there anything you want to add about the park that I may have left out?
No, I don't think so. You know, there's a lot of little food carts you can go. Some are better than others. I can say we did have funnel cake here. That wasn't the best. But the crepes here are very good. So it's some of the food
very
is a little inconsistent. So that's one of those things where, that's kind of Disney. I think for the most part, you kind of tend to have a pretty baseline of most of the food and snacks of what you kind of expect. Some of the ones at Universal can be a little hit or miss. I mean, obviously Harry Potter is still the most popular area in here.
Yes.
Has the most stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love Harry Potter, then this is a fantastic, you'll love it. I mean, it's, you know, I think we've said it before, you know, always part of this show is the difference between Disney and Universal. I would argue Harry Potter in Universal probably does a better job than Star Wars did in Galaxy's Edge, just considering the fact of you're walking essentially into a scene from a movie you've seen. If you watch a movie, you know Diagon Alley, and it's the closest thing you're going to get to being in actual Diagon Alley.
Yeah. And it is at the very back of the park.
Yes.
Just nestled right back there. And it's where Jaws used to be, back there. Isn't that where?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where Jaws was.
Kind of back there. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's why they, you know, that's kind of why they integrated Hogwarts Express.
Right.
You know, King's Cross Station on this side, you know, it's Hogsmeade on the other side. But because if you were to walk from Diagon Alley all the way to Park Hop or whatever, all the way to the other, like the entrance to Islands of Adventure, it would probably take you half an hour.
Yeah, it would.
So you could do it, but the train is just an easy way to get over between the two Harry Potter lands.
And again, it's a cool experience in itself. If you're a fan of the movies, it's all really, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's convenient, plus it's really cool.
And it's funny, I do want to go to Universal Studios Hollywood whenever we get a chance to get out to California. And it's interesting to see the differences.
Yeah.
A lot of escalators.
I've seen that.
A lot of escalators. Yeah. It's very hilly.
Our daughter will enjoy the escalators.
She will. But yeah. So.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
I made the list of everything, so hopefully I didn't leave anything out. But just that, we enjoy Universal, and we enjoy it now more because, you know, not to like get too, not to debate this a lot or to even talk about it too much, but Universal is trying to treat their annual pass holders well.
I would agree with that.
Lots of discounts, lots of, you know, free days here and there, upgrading, you know, your pass, free stuff, like all that stuff. So,
well,
and while Disney's not so much doing that right now,
Disney's playing kind of hard to get. In Universal's, yeah. Universal's kind of like that girl or a guy that's just like, yeah, we can go out. Let's go have fun.
Yeah.
Also, if you're out of state, you can do the payment plan on the annual passes, mm-hmm. which with Disney, you have to be in-state to do that.
Right.
There are a lot more choices on the AP, so there can kind of be a little bit of overwhelmingness on which one to get.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you get discounts on any, like, Starbucks, any of the food, you get discounts on AP. Like, it's pretty, when you start doing it, it's, and then you go back to Disney, then you realize
there's a big difference.
You don't get as many discounts. I mean, you get at the sit-down restaurants, you'll get a discount. None of the quick service, none of the snacks.
Well,
you won't get it at Starbucks. You do get it at Joffrey's, but you don't get it at some of the other places.
And all this to say that Universal Studios, you know, Park has a specific area for pass holders.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, Disney doesn't have that. So that is something that is unique. So for us, we were very excited to be like, oh, there's a lounge.
Yeah.
So, you know, Disney has like DVC lounge, and they have like the Disney Visa lounge, mm-hmm. too. They, you know, they have different kind of lounges, but there's not really one for APs, is there?
There's also more Disney APs too,
I guess.
So you'd have a really big lounge, but
yeah,
I mean,
but I can't think of anything else to do with the park specifically.
I mean, I guess we could mention that you can get the freestyle refill cups, which I think is a pretty good deal.
And that, I mean, you can do that with both parks, but we can mention
it. Which we found, I don't know if they're still doing it, but they ran a deal for a little bit in the summer where basically if you bought, I think it was one or two meals on the mobile app, you got basically a free freestyle cup. And then each day, I believe it's around $8 to activate it.
$10.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you can get ices and drink, like unlimited refills all day long.
Yep.
And it's actually a really good deal. And the cup itself actually is one I use it at home. I think it's a really good cup. So again, they've got some really cool things that they do.
The Coke freestyle machines are like spread all around, so it's not just a couple places.
And I can get my diet grape soda that I love.
He likes it.
It's I can only get it in the freestyle things.
Yeah.
So when I see those, I'm like a moth to a flame. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need that.
That's
all I've got. I mean, again, this is more just breaking down sort of the basics of Universal, but
yeah.
So hopefully, if you're looking to go here and you haven't been, this should give you an idea a little bit. And we'll put these notes here in the show notes, so you can have that to check out yourself if you want to, you know, use it as reference or something.
Absolutely.
So
the next one we'll do in this series will be Islands of Adventure, so you can kind of get a better idea of the two main parks and you know, we'll eventually do Volcano Bay, and we'll do City Walk, and we'll do, you know, as we stay at the hotels, we'll do the hotel reviews of those. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's been fun doing more Universal because, I mean, honestly, we are really big fans of their hotels.
Yes, we are.
So I think that's something that coming from Disney and doing this, obviously we have a Disney, you know, tilt to us, but There's a lot of things Universal does well.
For example, they're running a deal right now. I think if you book by February or March, if you book a regular, like, standard room at Cabana Bay, if you're an annual pass holder, you get basically a free upgrade to the family suite for the same price. And I saw prices as low as $84 for a family suite. So that sleeps six.
Yeah. And Cabana Bay is great.
So they're hurting for people to stay at their hotels. This is a way to get people in.
It's more locals that are going right now, so there's not as many out of state or out of town people. But
yeah, but anyway, so that's just, you know, a perk there that we like going. So
that's all I got.
Okay, that's all I got too. I guess we'll close out here. Just to remind you that you should join our Capture the Magic community Facebook group if you're not a part of that. We discuss, obviously, all things Disney, but now that we're doing more Universal, we're discussing more Universal stuff as well.
Yeah.
So you can get in the conversation there. And
it's a good resource. Like, if you have questions about your trip, you can just ask, and people are very nice, and they will.
Absolutely.
You know, we try and chime in, but a lot of people will. More than happy to help you with questions you've got and things like that.
Yes. And we're also on Instagram, Cap the Magic. We're pretty active over there. And we started a new account in TikTok, which Jared's been happily playing with.
It's interesting.
Man. It's interesting.
I'm trying to be hip with the kids.
You're hip. You're a hip guy.
I don't know. The account is older. I just started posting it because I think we had the account for over like a year and a half.
Oh, really?
I just didn't start posting anything until a couple weeks ago. But
yeah,
it's Capture the Magic on TikTok if you want to follow us there.
And of course, just another reminder, ctmshirts.com. Check out our new design from Tangled. We'll eventually get maybe some Harry Potter inspired shirts
that's in the works. There might be a prison mic one that's coming for the
I'm excited about that one.
If you're familiar with The Office, you know who prison mic is. There might be one of those in the works. So we'll have some Universal stuff as well this year.
Excellent. All right, well, I think that's it. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for watching or listening, and as I always like to say, we will see you in the barks.
Bye.
Thank you.